What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. It's been a little while. It's been a slow time, man. We are almost through it, though. We do have another good one for you, as always. A little trade happened in the Western Conference we need to get to. A pretty good trade for this time of year, no doubt about it. I think one team got better, and I think another team... We'll see. But that and a little Warriors news coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Sorry, you know, it's been a while, man. It's been a slow time. There just isn't much to talk about. But the Rockets and Phoenix Suns made a little trade that I found pretty interesting. Also, a little Warriors news. Nothing too crazy. Nothing that will change the landscape of the NBA. It's more social stuff. It's more funny social media happenings more than anything. But definitely worth mentioning because the Warriors are a team full of personalities. And that's one of my favorite things about them is it's more than just basketball. You know, these guys are superstars and they're having a good time. China Clay is always worth mentioning, but it's different now. It's not just China. He's international Clay. So we'll get to that. But first, I want to start with the trade that happened recently with Ryan Anderson and D'Anthony Melton going to Phoenix and the Rockets getting back Brandon Knight and Marquese Chris. I'll start with the Rockets. You guys have heard me be a little down on them recently, but I think it's warranted. I think Joe Lacob doesn't get enough credit. I think owners don't get enough credit for being willing to pay the luxury tax. Jerry Jones said recently he was asked, I forget the exact question or however it came about, but he basically said, you know, it would be an embarrassing amount of money I would pay to win a Super Bowl. And in the NBA, they kind of have that, not direct ability, but they have that ability because of the luxury tax. You can see how competitive, I guess, these teams are. And I understand teams not wanting to do it who don't have a chance, but the Rockets definitely have a chance to win a championship, to beat the Warriors. And they did last year. And instead of re-signing guys like Ariza and Luke and Mbamute for, you know, I think it would have been $20 million altogether. And the funny part is, we'll get to that in just a second also, but instead of doing that, you know, they look to make moves to lower their salary cap, luxury tax. And it just, I don't know, I don't agree with it, but again, it's not my money, so whatever. But Brandon Knight is still a solid player, not a great three-point shooter, which hurts what the Rockets like to do. Mike D'Antoni has the touch, though, so we'll see if he can get something out of him. And Marquese Chris could potentially be a solid backup to Clint Capella. We'll see, because he hasn't been great, but he does have the athletic ability to at least mimic some of the things that Capella does. Not so much defensively, but offensively. He could be a great role man, great dive to the basket type player, but whether he does it or not, we'll see. Phoenix, I like what Phoenix did, and I'm going to throw to a segment I did on radio with Jason Ross recently, just breaking down this trade and how it affects both teams. I don't want to give it all away right here, so I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll throw to that, and that'll break down the trade, and then we'll come back and talk a little more Warriors. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Why not?
What'd you think of the late August NBA trade yesterday, which had Houston getting away from that Ryan Anderson contract, which a lot of people thought they would never be able to do, which they did, 2 years remaining on that, sending him to Phoenix. You know, kind of the key pieces in return, Marquese Chris, who's from here, obviously, and Brandon Knight, who just, I feel like Brandon Knight could still play a little bit, but I mean, it's been injuries for about 2+ years for him.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the move, honestly.
For
both. Probably more intrigued for Phoenix, but intrigued for Houston because they, business-wise, they were able to get off that Anderson contract mm-hmm. without attaching any first-round picks. Any sweetener, really. They traded DeAnthony Melton, who I know they were high on and other people are high on also. But he wasn't going to be a contributor this year. It wasn't going to happen within the next year or two, really. So he goes, DeAnthony Melton and Ryan Anderson go to Phoenix. And I'll stick with Houston right now and what they got back. So they got Brandon Knight back, who I agree with you. You look at his numbers and his ability, and he's a good player.
Well, now you're asking him to be a backup, so
exactly.
That's fine.
But injuries, coming off the ACL, that's all hurt him, obviously. Not a great three-point shooter. Defensive liabilities. But he's still a good player. And maybe they can find another way to flip him. You know, maybe they can move him for something else. Marquese Chris, I'm intrigued by because they're pretty short in the front court. And not like actually short, but they only have Capella and then Nene, who, I mean, I think he's like 36, 37. And even though he's serviceable, he's unplayable against some teams. And Marquese Chris, he's not a great defender, but he has the athletic ability to be a good defender at the very least. So there's potential there. There's a chance he could be a better defender. And as far as at the very least, he can replicate what Capella does in the pick and roll. At the very least.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be the rim protector. He may not be the defender. But at the very least, they have someone who can come in and catch lobs and you know, pick and dive. So I'm intrigued. It's also a 2-month tryout for Chris, basically, because he October 31st is at the point where they have to accept or decline his option for 2019, which is like $4-point-something million, which might be a little steep for a backup center mm-hmm. in today's NBA, but we'll see. I'm intrigued by it, at least for Houston in that way. I don't love it. Maybe I need to start looking at Houston differently because for the last year or so, I've been looking at them every single move and everything they do is to beat Golden State. And that's because Daryl Morey basically came out and said that. So that maybe he needs to come out and say it's not that anymore because I don't think any of these moves help them beat Golden State.
Yeah.
But they're getting solid players.
Yeah. I didn't like what they lost, but like you said, I mean, losing Bamute, losing Ariza was kind of the roster that you had the look at and you go, maybe they can beat the Warriors. And when we saw them play, mm-hmm. you're like, that series was anybody's series. Warriors ultimately won. It's interesting that you said, you know, Marquese Chris maybe as a backup center too, or at least a backup big, because I could see them playing a smaller lineup that includes Tucker as kind of the physical presence, but a much shorter. I think he's only like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's not big.
Yeah, but Marquese Chris is tall, and you know, so maybe some length there with Harden, with Paul, with Gordon, maybe, which is the kind of the playoff roster or lineup they used a lot. They didn't play, I think, Capella was playing more like 20 minutes against the Warriors, mm-hmm. and that was lower than he normally would have. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Brandon Knight's intriguing to me. He's obviously going to be behind Chris Paul. James Harden's going to have the ball in his hand a lot.
I mean, Eric Gordon.
Yeah, they still have him. Gerald Green, even. I mean, they have still a pretty good roster, and people are going to laugh. I do think Carmelo's going to help him. He's going to be different than Bamute.
Not at all. He's serviceable. Again, this goes back to the name thing.
Right.
We're reacting to his name. Yeah. Right. He'll get buckets off the bench. Or not off the bench, but he'll be fourth option, fifth option maybe.
Yeah. And it's some nights I could see him like, oh, Carmelo led him with 27 points. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not crazy. I mean, there were nights where Gerald Green hit like 8 threes and it's like, what? He had 29?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, really.
So I think that's the team that'll do that or can do that. The one thing I've always thought about Daryl Morey, and I think a lot of people do really value him and think he's really good at his job. And I don't know that I'm saying he's not, because I think you should, like, people are praising him for getting out of the Ryan Anderson contract. Well, you signed it.
Yeah.
And before that, there was a time, I remember the offseason, where they had two just massive deals for Oshik and Jeremy Lin. And like, yeah, if they can get off of those contracts. And he did. But that's kind of been his motive. It's like, we're going to sign something that a lot of people go, wow, that's a huge deal. Like, what are we going to do with that? But he ultimately ends up moving him. And I don't know. I'm a little bit mixed on that, because it's like, well, you set that market and you did get stuff back in return ultimately. But I feel like people are like, oh, he'll trade anybody. He can move anybody. But he also signs those first deals.
Yeah, he also, yeah, he's He's not inheriting anyone else's bad deals. Those are all his.
Yeah. And he's pushing them on other people.
Yeah.
But I think Anderson's was easier to move with 2 years left as opposed to three or four.
And here's the other thing, too, that we've talked about this week is I give owners credit willing to pay the luxury tax.
Yeah.
And it was sparked from, you know, Jerry Jones saying he'd be willing to pay a ridiculous amount to win a Super Bowl. And Houston is not willing. All these moves, even if you think these moves for Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight help them, they also lower their luxury tax payment from, you know, like $20 million to like $15 million, which good for them. But at the same time, when you took the champs to seven games in the Western Conference Finals and Chris Paul was hurt, I don't know. It seems like a good one-year investment to run that team back.
Yep, I'm with you.
And
the second you lost Ariza.
Yeah. Like... yeah, for $15 million for 1 year. And that's the difference. I mean, and maybe that's the difference that a championship makes, where the Warriors re-signed Andre Iguodala for $16 million a year for 3 years and just willing to eat that because they could run back a championship team.
Yeah.
And maybe the owners didn't believe, whatever. It's too bad because I was interested in a Rockets-Warriors rivalry moving forward because they matched up well, and now it just doesn't feel like that. But go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, how about the Phoenix part now? So if we kind of talked about the Rockets. So Phoenix gets Ryan Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, especially for a team that, I mean, they they were the worst record in the NBA.
Yep.
I knew they were the worst in the West, but the worst record overall. They've had a pretty loud offseason for a team that's bad, right, where you add Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
You made a trade on draft day. You drafted as well. You get Ayton. You now add Ryan Anderson. The Kings were in company last year with some of the worst teams. You know, the Kings, Dallas, Memphis had a bad year, Hawks, Phoenix. But as the list goes in the West, I do like what the Kings have done, but it's hard to find a team they're better than going into the year. At least people would say they're better.
That's the tough part with the Western Conference.
Yeah.
If this was an Eastern Conference team, I'd be 4 seed. not 4, maybe 5. But I'm intrigued by this Phoenix team, man.
I see some holes, but I think they got
better. They do have holes, and they're still looking to fill that because Brandon Knight was going to be intriguing with this team if he was going to be healthy, but it looks like they just kind of, you know, the relationship was over.
Yeah.
It's time to part ways. But they do have a major hole at point guard. But if you look at their roster, man, they, you know, kind of deep. And for a team whose goal is to make the playoffs, not to win a championship, it's interesting, man. So, yes, point guard, major hole. But Devin Booker starting at shooting guard. Trevor Ariza starting at small forward. Ryan Anderson, power forward, and then DeAndre Ayton most likely will start at center. They still have Tyson Chandler there. Rashawn Holmes can be a solid backup. TJ Warren, Michael Bridges, Josh Jackson, Troy Daniels, all solid wings, all contributors, bring different things. TJ Warren, man, I think he averaged like 19 last year.
Nice.
He's really nice.
A lot of small forwards, but again, then you go, well, play them all together, like positionless basketball.
Exactly. And as far as positionless goes, that's like the most positionless. That's the kind of player you want. Because Trevor Ariza, you can play him at the four. You know,
or the two.
A guy like Josh Jackson, you can play him at the three or the two.
Right.
Devin Booker, and if they don't find a starting point guard, which I do think they're going to go out and look for, where maybe one of these wings will be traded to get one. Okay, so Devin Booker's running the point.
Yeah.
And you start Josh Jackson. Devin Booker's running that James Harden point guard. I'm really intrigued. I like that they got Ryan Anderson because... yes, he's overpaid. It's a bad contract. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's useless.
Yeah.
He still has value in the NBA. He can definitely shoot. He had his best years of his career last year in two-point percentage and effective field goal percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Three-point percentage was down to 38%, but that's pretty much his career average. If you look at – and real quick, back to the Rockets with Brandon Knight and
Marquise Chris.
Neither are really great three-point shooters. Marquise Chris is at least willing to do it, which is something they didn't have at the five spot before. And for some reason, D'Antoni kind of has a magic touch. So I'm interested to see if he can get them to be able to shoot better. But back to Phoenix, Devin Booker running the point. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah, you want your best player with the ball in his hand, I guess. But it doesn't seem to have been his natural position, I guess. But maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm overvaluing that. I just don't love the sound of their starting point guard. But if it's Booker and he handles it well, then it's like, well, that's...
That's one of the problems is they have Isaiah Cannon, Eli Okobo, and D'Anthony Melton, who both Okobo and Melton are second-rounders who you're intrigued by, but you don't want them starting immediately.
Yeah.
And Melton is a great defender, too, which is something nice that they, you know, they could get that out of him at least if they need to. And if you look at Josh Jackson, Trevor Ariza, you know, Tyson Chandler, we'll see how DeAndre Ayton works out. They have some solid defenders on that team also.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Not saying they're going to be great or anything, but if you're telling me they're fighting for the 8 seed, but I'm like 10, if they're the 10th seed or something like that, yeah, within reach of the 8 seed, I wouldn't be really surprised, especially if there's a move out there for starting point guard. Like, what if they go out and get Jeremy Lin?
Yeah.
That would be almost perfect for them, mm-hmm, because they don't need a superstar point guard. They just need a starting caliber point guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then Booker's the two, and then all that other depth, it does change just a whole other level of the depth. Yeah, I think I was going, you know, season's not here yet, but kind of going into the season, I still felt like the Kings might be better than them. I might be wrong on that one. And that's fine if I am. Are they better than Dallas?
I think so.
Do you?
I mean, let's...
Like, some people
like it this way.
Added DeAndre Jordan. I said, okay.
Yeah.
And Luka, and he's a mystery. We don't know about Luka.
We don't know about Luka, exactly.
I think he might be good.
I was going to say Devin Booker.
Right.
That's all I need to know right now when it comes to the Mavs. Because what do the Mavs have? Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
Wesley Matthews?
Mm-hmm.
Luka, who I agree. I think Luka will be good. But unless he's going to have a Ben Simmons-type rookie year, or second year, however you want to look at it, which I don't think he will. I mean, he could still put it together a good year, win rookie of the year, but like putting up 20 points and, you know, 10 assists a game, doubt it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they're better than Dallas. I definitely think, sorry, Kings fans, I think they're better than the Kings.
Yep. Man, look at this, Charles. Last year, just the Lakers, Kings, Mavs, Suns, and Grizzlies were under 500 in the West. And, the Lakers are getting in there. To me, I think they'll be a playoff team for sure.
And I'm not. I know some people are intrigued by the Grizzlies. I'm not.
But they're not 22 wins.
They're not, but I mean, we're just expecting Mike Conley to be healthy, a guy who's never healthy. You know, like at a certain point, it's kind of like when people were talking about Chris Paul getting injured in the Western Conference Finals. Like, oh, that's lucky. Is it lucky when something that happens every single year happens?
Yeah.
Or is it just a pattern and does it happen every year?
Yeah.
You know, so I just.
I guess it's Gasol, it's Conley, it's even some of their additions.
I like Jaren Jackson.
Jaren Jackson, the drafting, Kyle Anderson, I don't know, Dylan Brooks, Omri Caspi. It's not an amazing roster, but and Garrett Temple.
GT?
GT. I don't know. I think they'll be better, certainly. 22 wins.
Yeah, they'll be better.
Surprising, but man, this is making me feel bleak about the Kings. Not that I had these huge high hopes for the Kings anyway, but
yeah.
And then Ryan Anderson now in Phoenix Sun. We'll see how that kind of translates for him. If that gives him kind of the minutes, because he was kind of the I knew he could play, but he just didn't seem to all of a sudden. A team that shoots a ton of threes, it seemed like that's where he'd fit.
Yeah.
It was more about the defensive end with him.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it like really once they got to the playoffs, it was his playing time was over.
Right.
He actually contributed throughout the year and was solid for them throughout the year, but once it got to the playoffs, it was like, man, we can't have you out there getting torched immediately. So, like I said, for a team that was trying to win a championship, it's tough to have Ryan Anderson on there. Mm-hmm. When you have a team that's just trying to get to the playoffs, trying to improve, it works.
Yeah. I don't feel like the Rockets are better today, but
me neither.
Than they were, but I understand why they tried the trade. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to pay off for them.
Yeah. It feels like a luxury tax move.
Yeah. Because they're at the next step, right? Mm-hmm. They're at the, like, they made the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
They almost won. They didn't. Now it has to get to the finals and win a championship, and it just...
And Brandon Knight's a good player, but I just don't know... It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, it's like... It'd be like the Kings going out and trading for another center or something.
Yeah, here's a texter saying, Charles, no way Anderson holds those percentages without Harden or Paul. All he was asked to do was take open shots.
Well, that's what they're going to ask him to do in Phoenix.
Right.
He's not starting at point guard or something.
Right, right. That's his role, and he's hit shots in his career. He's a three-point shooter.
He's a shooter.
Stretch four,
for
right?
For sure.
And at times he's rebounded better. That's where I thought he should fill the Rockets' need there. But
There was a point where I looked at him and Kevin Love pretty similarly.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, no.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. So I hope you enjoyed that little breakdown of that trade there, which I don't hate. I think both teams got pieces that they, could help. None of them... I mean, Ryan Anderson, if Ryan Anderson works out in Phoenix, that's a much bigger help than Brandon Knight or Marquise Chris in Houston. Even though I like Chris, I like Knight, they're not elevating Houston past the Warriors, where Ryan Anderson could elevate, help elevate Phoenix. He's not the only piece, but could help elevate Phoenix to fighting for an 8 seed. Not that they'd get it, but I think they'd be in the fight. And at the very least, Phoenix is a league pass team for me. I'm definitely going to be interested in watching them. I'm going to be checking them out on league pass, no question. League pass power rankings, they're up there, for sure. So, there it is. And like I said, I kind of teased it before. The fact that they did not re-sign Trevor Ariza or Luke and Bamute, who both ended up getting Ariza 1 year, $15 million, and Bamute 1 year, $4 million. So that would come out to a 1 year, $19 million commitment from the Rockets. And in trading Ryan Anderson and D'Anthony Melton, what they got back was 2 years of Brandon Knight at $15 million and then potentially 2 years at, you know, $4 and $4.5 million for Marquise Chris, depending on whether they pick up that option next year. But basically, there was a way they could have done it to keep those guys, but instead they didn't because they're more worried about luxury tax, which that sucks as far as Houston Rockets fans are concerned. I would not be very happy with that. And so shout out, I've done it before, shout out the owners willing to pay. You know, I don't love OKC's roster, but shout out the owners over there who are willing to pay the luxury tax to try and compete. The Warriors, obviously. Say what you will about Dan Gilbert, and trust me, there's plenty of negative things you could say about him and the way that team has been run during his tenure. But when LeBron was there this last run, he was willing to pay the luxury tax, regardless of who they got and the moves they made. Whether you agree with them or not, he was willing to pay. So there's that. Some minor Warriors news. Not a lot's happened. We're still waiting on Pat McCaw to sign his qualifying offer. And it's understandable as to why he doesn't need to sign it until training camp. I doubt he'll be holding out in training camp at all because he has no leverage for more money with the Warriors, at least. And the Warriors have no reason to give him more money unless he's offered a contract from another team. So he's basically waiting to see if someone gets injured on, I don't know, pick a team, Orlando or Brooklyn or Atlanta or, I don't know, someone who can offer him a little more money. His qualifying offer is $1.74 million. Let's say, you know, a wing gets hurt in some other place with a little bit of cash, a little bit of cap space, or a mid-level to offer, something like that. And, you know, he can get, I don't know, 2 years, $6 million or something. So he's just waiting. He's playing the game right, basically, and the Warriors are also just waiting on him. The offer's out there. And then again, if he does get that offer, the Warriors have the option to match it. So I would expect he signs it right before training camp and is in with the team at training camp. And that's about it as far as actual Warriors news pertaining to the team is concerned. Congrats to Sydell Curry Lee now, and Damian Lee. They are officially married. So Damian Lee on the two-way contract with the Warriors, now officially brother-in-laws, Steph's brother-in-law, put it that way. Funny little, Instagram post from Aisha saying, you know, just came back with a bigger family than before and shoots over to Steph and he's confused thinking they're about to have another kid. Pretty funny. Check it out. Klay Thompson is in Qatar, I think, being hilarious, being Klay Thompson. He's just awesome. The guy's fun. I don't know what else to say. A hilarious Instagram post, I guess, of him, Luke Walton, T-Mac, and Melo, and says they're, you know, the next big three champs. And it's funny because I don't know if he's referring to T-Mac, Luke, and Melo, or if he's in that group as well, which was pretty funny. And Melo had a nice little response, and KD asked if he could get in on. So just, you know, your normal funny off-season stuff. KD was going at someone in Instagram comments or something, which I don't really have a problem with at all. The only problem I have is that it just gets so overreported and so over psychoanalyzed, and we're going to have to deal with it for an entire year. And it won't be over until he either resigns or leaves. So small price to pay, I guess, to have Kevin Durant on the Warriors, but it is a little annoying for my taste, but whatever. And not what he's doing, but the way it gets reported and handled, etc. So that's about it as far as NBA news goes. It's the Hall of Fame this week, so It usually picks up after that, and then we're getting close to training camp. And once we start getting more news and more action going, we'll definitely have more of these Locked On podcasts as much as possible, especially when the season starts. When the season starts, we're 5 days a week. So get ready for that. Prep yourself for that. Yeah, work your ears out, you know, get ready. So thank you guys for listening. Have a good weekend. I will be back with you soon. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.